South of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, so let's get started.
Okay, it's time to take a few emails now. This one coming from Robert. He says, Johnny, I'm wondering if one can hire a housekeeper for just a half a day. So, if the going rate for a housekeeper is $15 a day, does that mean I'd pay $8, $9, or $10 for a half a day? And what about a half a day 5 days a week? All right, Robert, that's a good question. But honestly, I don't see why any gringo or expat would ever want a housekeeper to come in just for a half a day. That is, unless you're only home for a half a day at a time and you don't want her in the house when you're not there. And by the way, from my own experience and from talking to people, it's never a good idea to have a housekeeper work in your house when you or at least one of your family members is not there. And it's not necessarily because your housekeeper or cleaning lady is going to steal from you or gulp down your caviar or your single malt scotch. But it's the fact that they are careless about security. In fact, it's pretty much off the radar completely for them because where she lives in her neighborhood, the doors and windows are left practically wide open because they've got nothing really worth stealing. And as sad as that might be, it's true. But us so-called rich gringos, well, to them, we've got way too much of everything. So, like I said, your average cleaning lady or housekeeper has no concept of security. Not the way we view it, anyway. My cleaning lady, like all cleaning ladies, is hopping around from the front door to the back door and into the garage and sometimes out on the front street sweeping the sidewalk or the curb. Then she's off to the neighborhood store buying this and that, cleaning supplies and food and stuff. Then she's back, popping in and out of the house again. And she does all that while keeping an eye on the little TV in the kitchen to catch what's happening with her favorite soap operas. And believe me, no matter how inefficient it all looks, it's a mistake for you to try to organize her along first world lines. Many expats, including me, have tried it, but it doesn't work. You'll just confuse her. Of course you can tell her exactly what you want clean and how to do it, and correct her when she's doing a crap job, but don't try screwing around with her rhythm. I mean, what parts of the house she cleans first, last, or in between? It's best to just let her go at her own pace, as long as everything gets done. And even if it drives you nuts, you'll get over it. Maybe. For example, I'll tell you something that happens with every cleaning lady. It never fails that she'll sweep and mop your tile or wooden floors sometime in the early morning. And when she mops your floor, she'll use something like Pine-Sol, a diluted liquid disinfectant, which can take up to an hour or two to dry even down here in the tropics. And in the rainy season when it's humid, even longer. Now, this is your house or your apartment, and you live in it. And you're not going to lock yourself in a room all morning or lay in bed for a couple hours just to wait for that floor to dry. You're going to be going down to the kitchen, into the bathroom, into the office, and into the garage, and doing all your things, too. And guaranteed, you're going to make tracks on that nice, clean, humid floor. And don't worry, that's not going to piss her off. Not in any way. She's just going to wait till you're gone and moisten the floor down again and do it all over. Not the whole floor, of course, but all those footprints you've been making in the house. So, after you make your tracks and you're out of there, she's going to follow your footprints and make things nice again. Now, I guarantee you, that's going to happen 3 or 4 times during the day at least. And of course, the obvious solution to that problem is to tell her to sweep and wet mop the floor at the very end of the day, right before she's done or finished with her work. But don't suggest that. It'll only confuse her. Oh, and by the way, expat Eddie says his kitchen is always the cleanest room in the house by far. And why is that? Because the TV's in there. So again, it's not good to leave your house with just the cleaning lady or the housekeeper at home. The fact is, they're just not thinking much about security. They're thinking about other things. Cleaning your house, of course. Feeding their kids. Who's screwing who on their favorite soap opera. Basically, security is not on their radar. And that's the case with most maids and housekeepers that aren't live-ins. Now, of course, if you have a live-in maid, she'll eventually become like part of the family. So little by little, you'll be laying down the rules and training her up. And that's a different case. But for now, I'm talking about maids and housekeepers that don't live at your place, that just come in as day workers. And it breaks down like this. About 90% of gringos and expats who have maids have the kind that come in as day workers. Only about 10% of gringos and expats or less have full-time live-in maids. And you see that almost exclusively with gringos and expats who have children. So then, she also doubles as a full-time 24/7 nanny babysitter. And here's a little tip for all you gringos out there who end up marrying a Latina and you have a family. As soon as she's pregnant, I guarantee you she's going to push you to get a full-time live-in maid. Even if her family household couldn't afford one, she's going to push you to get one. Why? Because it's just part of the class system that she grew up in. Any family man with an above-average income, and that includes gringos, is just expected to have a full-time maid. Not having one is a big exception to the rule. Now, you don't have to buy into that. In fact, like I said, most gringos feel pretty uptight at first with maids hanging around the house all day. That's just not how we were brought up, though it would have been nice. And I'll tell you, if you hang around with other gringos and expats and Latins that have full-time live-in maids, your Latin wife is never going to let you hear the end of it. And in a way, you can see her point. Look, I mean, can you think of anyone who likes to do housework? Clean toilets and windows, change baby diapers, calm screaming kids down, and clean vomit? I mean, that's what our moms did because they couldn't afford help. But believe me, if our dads had the money, they'd have gladly paid for a housekeeper. And I know for a fact that would have certainly taken the edge off of my mom. And I can tell you, after having maids down here for like 20 years, it makes life so much less tense and getting up in the morning ever that much more pleasant. And I'm speaking from the viewpoint of a guy, fully knowing that wives up in the first world that I know do almost all the dirty work, even though men are helping more than they ever did. But down here, why punish yourself or your significant other? For one thing, you'll never argue about who trashed up the bathroom again, or whose turn it is to do the dishes or the dirty laundry. Get the point? And if you're one of those human rights do-gooders who thinks we're taking advantage of poor, uneducated Latin women without skills, well, you could do a couple of things about that, too. Number one, you could pay your cleaning lady more than the going average. Number two, you could treat her extremely nice and send her home with a lot of free stuff for her family. Number three, you could find ways to give her kids jobs when they're old enough. And number four, if she's been with you a long while and has been a very good person to have around, you can write her into your will. And guess what? All of those points I just mentioned, I know a lot of expats who are doing all of that and more with their cleaning ladies and housekeepers right now. And I know of almost no Latin families that treat their cleaning ladies and housekeepers with any respect or real kindness at all. And that's why housekeepers, cleaning ladies, gardeners, and maintenance guys just love working for gringos. And for all you gringa expats who marry Latin men, there's very good news on that front for you too, because these guys will definitely hire a full-time live-in maid for you. They won't even bat an eye about it. Since the Latin guy you end up marrying will most certainly be from the upper classes and will have grown up with full-time maids himself all of his life. Oh, and just one more thing. In all my years down here, I've never met a first-world gringa expat who's married a Latin guy from the lower or middle classes. You know, a guy that makes $300 or $400 a month. American gringa expats who come down here and meet the Latin guy of their dreams and get married always end up with a guy from the upper middle class or wealthy classes. After all, and it's very un-PC to say this, the fact is, first world gringas, when they come down here, have their choice of nearly any Latin man they want. The fact is, first world gringa women are very rare and thus in huge demand. Fat or thin, ugly or pretty, no matter what you look like, how smart or dumb you are a huge status symbol for any Latin guy. Because every Latin guy wants to improve his bloodline through his kids. He wants them to be North American and European-like, not short, dark, and brown. They all want little blonde-haired, blue-eyed Justin Bieber babies. You should never forget that it's a very classist and racist society here. Much, much more so than ever you'll see up in the States. So that's part of the gringa advantage, since to them, you're that ticket to Justin Bieberdom. But back to the point. Like I said, don't leave your cleaning lady home alone. And that's why occasionally you hear a story or see in the paper that a home's been robbed with only the cleaning lady there. And nearly 100% of the time, she lets them in. And not at all because she's in on a plan, it's just that she's fooled by some stupid ruse, like a UPS or delivery guy, a mailman, or a delivery of roses. And as soon as she pops the latch, they're in. Now admittedly, That's never happened to any of my gringo friends. But we've all heard a story or two about that kind of thing happening within our own subdivisions. So just a word of warning there. And if you have a full-time live-in cleaning lady, make sure she's got absolute airtight instructions never to let anyone in the front door or on the property without your explicit permission. And you know, a lot of gringos and expats live in protected, guarded subdivisions where you have to go to a guard gate and check in with your driver's license and tell the guard what house you're visiting, and he'll call ahead to your house to get the okay before he even lets you through the gate. And I'd say about 50 or 60% of the gringos and expats that I know live in protected colonies like that. Oh, and you better get used to the fact that people in Latin America do not use the word subdivision. Instead, they call them colonies, colonias. So what about hiring a housekeeper for a half a day? Well, I'll tell you right now, that's probably not going to happen unless you live in a high-volume tourist area like Costa Rica where you pay the cleaning ladies by the hour. And doing it that way, you'll pay them way too much. Now, I have to admit that 20-some years ago when I did live in Costa Rica, when a local maid that you got by word of mouth was still making about 10 or 15 bucks a day, the thought of paying one by the hour was just ridiculous. It just wasn't done. But soon after that, I heard that in Costa Rica, maids were getting paid by the hour due to gringo inflation. In fact, I understand now that in some of those gringified tourist areas, I like that word, gringified. I think I just made that up. Anyway, these maids are getting like $5 or $6 an hour, which is five times the going rate in the rest of Latin America off the tourist trail. But even if you're not on the tourist trail, a lot of dumb gringos and expats come down looking for a maid, and because they don't know how to go about getting one the proper way, the normal, inexpensive way, they'll look on the internet or in the yellow pages and come across maid services, companies that supply maids for 3 to 5 times what you pay if you contracted one yourself. Yeah, you can do that. A lot of stupid gringos do. Gringos working at embassies and gringos working on contract for big corporations almost always do that. They call them maid services. And they're not concerned. They don't care that they might be getting ripped off. Because the government, if you're an embassy employee, or the company, if you're working for a transnational, pays a house and housekeeping allowance. It's part of their contract for being down here. So what do they care how much they pay? And that's why the labor and the housing situation is so distorted when you get closer and closer to embassy row in any of the big cities. There is an actual embassy district in these cities. Now, you know there are about 200 countries in the world, and about 100 of those countries have embassy offices, embassy personnel, support people, and physical buildings in practically all major cities and capital cities in the world. That means there are a hell of a lot of embassies and embassy workers in all major Latin American cities, always located in the nicest, richest sections of town. That's why housing within that 10-block or so radius, as well as doctor and beauty parlor services, you name it, they'll all be double or triple the price of what you'd pay for the same thing as you get out a couple of miles from that area. Just to give you an example, a lot of doctors in Latin big cities will have two offices. One close to the embassy and business district, and one miles and miles away in a smaller little community. And yes, they'll have a two-tiered price structure too. Now, I also should mention that when expats come down to a new country to live or stay for quite a while, they're often told to go down to the U.S. embassy and get the list that the embassy always has on hand of doctors and plumbers and accountants and vets and any other service professionals that speak English. And gringos think that the embassy is putting their seal of approval on that list. Well, they're not. Practically anyone can get on it. Just go down to the embassy and sign up and they'll put you on. That doesn't mean that anyone, including the embassy, has checked them out or is actually doing business with them. But also know this, almost all of those professionals and business services will be close to the embassy office. It seems nearby businesses get preferential placement on that list. So, if you're looking for a veterinarian or a cleaning lady, for example, you'll find vets, but you won't find individual cleaning ladies that way, only expensive maid services that contract people out. Because, you see, no individual cleaning lady working for 12 or 15 bucks a day is ever going to go into the U.S. Embassy and try to get on that list. First, she doesn't speak English. Second, it's a high rent district, so she's not likely to be there. And third, she wouldn't know a list like that even exists. And since she's not a professional or a company, the embassy wouldn't put her on anyway. Now, I've known a lot of green expats and gringos who go down to the embassy once in a while and get their fix of Big Brother propaganda and stacks of IRS fecal material. I see that kind of thing a lot. Some green gringo expats kind of feel connected vicariously to the United States through the local embassy. Well, I say you should just forget about your embassy. They are not your friends. They're just there to keep tabs on you. And it's a mistake to meet or socialize with embassy personnel, too. First of all the embassy people and their ancillaries are living in a bubble and they're paying twice and three times what you and I pay for everything. Though they're down here, they don't like being here and they don't even like the people. And you could tell that because they never mix with the locals unless they absolutely have to. And I doubt if you knew this. When you're in the Foreign Service and contracted to go down to a foreign country, you're only allowed to live in designated areas specified by the U.S. government. Well, you know, the landlords in those areas jack the prices up accordingly because they know it's being paid by the U.S. government or by a U.S. transnational company, and it's a first world style housing allowance. So anywhere close to the first world business district where the embassy row is, you can expect to pay double what you'd pay for the same thing in the outskirts. So, I repeat, embassy folks and U.S. corporate types down here on contract are paying way too much for their maids, their housing, beauty salons, doctors, vets, practically everything. Because they're all living in that little designated bubble area of the city where embassy housing rules and the gringo dollar have distorted the market. Now, in talking to my own cleaning lady, I know for a fact that she's very hesitant to work a half a day in anyone's house because it's just not worth the bus trip back and forth for a half a day's wage. Now, certainly a lot of cleaning ladies live close enough to their clients to walk there, but if you live in a part of town where there's upscale communities, daytime cleaning ladies will be taking the bus in. And it's worth it for them to work a full day for 12 or 15 bucks since the round trip bus is only maybe 50 cents. And by the way, all public bus lines, chicken bus lines included, are heavily subsidized by government. It's a racket, of course, where the owners of those buses rake in millions in subsidies and do zero maintenance and get away with it because practically all the bus lines are owned by politicians or their brother-in-laws or family members. Get the picture? So anyway, unless you can find a cleaning lady that lives within walking distance of your place, you're not going to find one that'll come in a half day. Not for half wages, but you might try what an expat friend of mine does who's in a similar situation, since he's only home for a half day at a time himself. He told his cleaning lady, "I only need you for a half a day 2 days a week, but I'll pay you for the full day, but I want you to have pilas." That's pilas, P-I-L-A-S. It's slang for doing things in a rush. It's also slang for batteries, like Ever Ready. Any housekeeper would jump at that offer. And for you, 12 or 15 bucks won't break the bank. Oh, and by the way, a lot of gringos I know who have daytime cleaning ladies, they have them cook a big lunch for them too. Which means, of course, the cleaning lady's salary includes lunch for her, and she'll cook it. Now, you should know if you have your pantry stocked with everything that us gringos and first world people have, and you can get 98% of all that stuff down here now too. So you can get that processed poisonous junk if you want it, along with mass quantities and varieties of cheap, gigantic fruits and vegetables that grow everywhere down here, including in your own backyard. You won't believe how big this stuff grows. I'll never forget the words of one new expat. He said, even what they call small cashews down here are twice as big as Adrian Brody's schnoz. But anyway, if you've got your food pantry stocked like most gringos and expats do, and you ask your cleaning lady to cook dinner for you, well, what you're going to get is the local typical meal that she cooks her family. Beans, rice, platanos, maybe chicken soup, carrots and yams maybe with a lot of fruit thrown in. And that's about it, because that's all she's used to cooking for her family. She won't touch any of your first world esoteric stuff that she's never cooked before. So what's my advice? Well, tell her to go ahead and cook anything she wants and you'll get a wholesome, natural meal, you'll live longer, and you'll be regular for the first time in 20 years. And of course, you know, if you live in Latin America, every single table setting is loaded with tortillas. So if you don't like tortillas or don't eat them, needless to say, your housekeeper or cleaning lady doing the cooking is going to scrounge them up somewhere. Because where she lives, there's a little handmade tortilla joint on every corner. Oh, and here's another thing for all you tortilla lovers. For one thing, every Latin American country makes them a different way. Like, for example, in Salvador and Guatemala and Nicaragua, they're made out of corn and they're thick and they're small. Whereas in some Latin countries, they're big, thin, and made out of either corn or wheat. And about those little tortilla joints you see everywhere, you should stop for a second, stick your head in one of those places and see how those ladies are making them. Hint, they don't know the meaning of the word hygiene. Luckily, they're well cooked, but after that, they stuff them in a plastic bag with their bare hands. And where did they put their hands before that? You don't want to know. Suffice it to say, if you watch those ladies making them for a couple of minutes, you'll never eat tortillas again. And by the way, those little tortilla stands make fresh tortillas 3 times a day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Not like in the States where you buy tortillas that might be a couple of days or even a couple of weeks old. And why not with all those preservatives and additives? Whereas down here, a tortilla that's a day old, well, the dog gets it. There are no preservatives or additives here, which is, of course, a big thing in their favor. However, more and more wealthier people are starting to buy their tortillas at the big grocery stores from big corporate brands like Bimbo. You know Bimbo, I talked about that before. It's the biggest bakery in the world, headquartered in Mexico, and they now own Wonder Bread and Twinkies. That's the company I once mentioned that got caught putting sawdust in their bread. Remember that? Anyway, nowadays, the wealthier folks are not stopping in those little tortilla shops and buying from those indigenous ladies. Uppity ladies don't feel like stopping in those lower class parts of town because what would the neighbors think, you know? So instead, they buy at the big supermarket chains in Walmart and Costco. So they can have the North American version of plasticized pre-digested tortillas like the ones at Taco Bell. But 95% of the rest of the population down here still buys their fresh tortillas at those little tortilla counter joints. So my tortilla advice for expats and gringos? Forget about it. Now, I also get a lot of emails from people asking me about nuclear power in Latin America. And we all know by Fukushima and Three Mile Island that there are accidents waiting to happen, even when first world people design and build them. And since you know already that the word maintenance does not exist in the Latin vocabulary, well, you know what that means. A Latin country could have all the first world rules and regulations and rigid inspection policies in place. But this is Latin America, so they'll drop the ball every time. It seems like there are almost no uptight and anal retentive people down here at all. And from what I know about engineering, you need those kind of people to run nuclear power plants. They may be jerks, they may be asswipes, but those are the kind of guys that are obsessed about details. Well, you'll rarely find people like that down here in any occupation. So the only way it seems they're going to get first world results is to recruit management and maintenance people from up in the first world. Up there, there are plenty of uptight, technically competent jerks to go around. I can recommend a few dozen myself. But that won't happen. They'll just train the local talent. Anyway, because of that cultural problem, suffice it to say, I would not live in a Latin country that had a nuclear power plant. And remember, in my past life, I was a real engineer. I didn't play one on TV. And I kind of know a lot more than the average guy knows about nuclear power plants. And that includes radioactivity and the half-lives of nuclear isotopes, including safe and unsafe methods of storage and disposal of nuclear waste. And those are some additional very good reasons why I'd never live in Argentina, Mexico, or Brazil. Because, you see, those are the 3 Latin American countries that have nuclear power plants online or on the drawing board right now. Argentina has 2 in operation with more under construction. Brazil has 2 with more under construction. And Mexico has 2 in operation right now and are in discussion about putting on a few more. Now, in a perfect world, a nuclear reactor, especially a newer one, is absolutely perfectly fine. But we all know what happened at Fukushima, so that blows that argument, not to mention the spent fuel and the waste products. And there are some brand new, very safe nuclear designs coming online, but, like I said, it's all about maintenance and nuclear waste disposal. And in Latin America, just drive around and you can see they can't even handle their regular day-to-day waste that's supposed to end up in a landfill. You tell me, how is it that dozens of spontaneous, illegal roadside garbage dumps pop up overnight in every city in Latin America and even out in the boonies? And Latins are supposed to handle nuclear waste too? Now, I've had this same debate with so-called intelligent, knowledgeable, and educated Latins. They all seem to feel it's a legitimate step on the way to becoming truly first world. So I've had these so-called intelligent Latins tell me, "Johnny, how can you say that we can't handle nuclear power? We're not children. Look at our airline industry. It's perfectly first world." And it's true. All Latin countries have their own airlines. They have about the same maintenance and crash statistics as first world airlines. So why wouldn't they be ready for nuclear power? Good point, you say, right? I mean, come on. India and Pakistan and Romania have nuclear power plants, and they're not exactly first world. But, you know, there's something about Latin American airlines that I didn't mention. Yes, passenger flights coming in from international airlines have very good first world style safety records. But statistics on internal flights within a country, flights that operate from small, non-international airports, rarely meet first world standards and do not have sterling records at all. Now, you might not know this, but all international airports in any country must get certified by American, European, and international aviation authorities. If not, the big international airline carriers like American or United could not land there. That means international airports are constantly being inspected by international aviation agencies. I repeat, inspections by international aviation authorities. So they either comply or international carriers won't land. So, bottom line, international airports all over the world are not left to their own inside country inspectors. They're part of an international club and they have to maintain international standards. Now, when you're talking about nuclear power plants, when it comes to power generation, a country runs its own show. It's a totally local affair. Sure, the plants themselves are designed by huge mega firms like Westinghouse and General Electric, but once it's installed and the people are trained, it's your baby from then on, just like a coal or a gas-fired plant. Of course, there are international regulations, but a country's responsible for its own plants. For example, take Chernobyl. There was no international group or committee overlooking the construction and design of that monster. The Russians just built it and many others like it, and for a long, long time, the rest of the world didn't even care. It was on nobody's radar in the first world. In fact, they even sold that design to anybody who'd buy it. And until the thing blew, everybody just figured, the Russians are very technologically capable people. They've got a space program, nuclear ships and submarines. They know what they're doing. So bottom line, even after Fukushima, there are worldwide an estimated 67 nuclear power plants under construction right now. And why is that? Well, fossil fuels are getting expensive, and everybody except Obama knows that coal is dirty. So do expect more nuclear power plants to go online all the time, even down here in Latin America. But remember, the only three countries that have them right now are Argentina, Mexico, and Brazil. And except for those three Latin nutcases, none of the other 17 Latin American countries has any plans in that direction at all. Now, that's good news.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
That's You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. Coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture.